That'll make you stop and think. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. While you're finding your place there, the sign-up sheet for food for tent meeting Sunday is back there. My wife got that out right away. So ladies, if you already know what you want to do, you can let us know. And just do something good. Amen? And by the way, don't forget dessert. I didn't want to disappoint you and not mention dessert. You know, dessert's important. And so bring a dessert. Luke chapter 10. I want to begin in verse 25. I'm going to read down through verse 42. Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said he had showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Father, thank you for your word for this particular portion that we'll look at today. There is food in this passage for us today. There is a message here for each one of us that you have. Help us to be tuned into you. Help us to be in tune with you that we may hear what you want us to hear. That our hearts would be touched, that we would be moved. I don't doubt that there's unsaved people here today. And I pray that today would be the day they'd come to Christ and know Him. Know the joy of salvation. The peace of forgiveness of sins. The power of the Holy Spirit in their heart. And then I pray for every believer that we would be clay in your hands today, allowing you to mold and shape and deal with us as you see fit. And Lord, ultimately, might your will be done in hearts and lives. Use me today. I just want to be a tool and a vessel. I just want to be a vehicle. I just want to be used of you. Ask you to help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Titled this, Lessons Learned from the Good Samaritan. Lessons Learned from the Good Samaritan. We have before us what is often referred to as the parable of the Good Samaritan. By the way, it's interesting that many unsaved people are familiar with this. Here we find the Lord Jesus Christ once again using an earthly story to teach spiritual truth. In this passage, as we've read, we find a lawyer coming to Jesus with a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's interesting how the Lord responds. He responds with a question. He says to this man, what is written in the law? This man's a lawyer. He's familiar with the law. He studies it. He understands it. He knows it. He said, well, what does the law say? But Jesus doesn't stop there. He says, how readest thou? Now, Jesus knows the man's an expert in the law on what it says. In response, the lawyer gave the right answer, for Jesus himself taught that these were the two greatest laws which all others hang on. And by the way, when he said to that man, how readest thou? He was saying, what do you think? What's it say to you? But then the lawyer tries to justify himself. You know, up to that point, things seemed pretty good, didn't they? But see, now we see the truth coming out. He heard what the man said. He heard how to inherit eternal life. But now he don't like what he heard. Now he's going to try to justify himself. That's what the Bible says. And he asked this question. And I think he kind of did it with, I believe, with a little bit of a smart aleck attitude. Huh? Have you ever dealt with young people when, you know, you got them kind of in a corner and they come up with one of these smart aleck responses? You know, being a lawyer, jailhouse lawyer, trying to justify themselves. That's where this guy was. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Little did he know, I guess, that our Lord was very, very much up to the occasion. And he gives a tremendous answer. Not only did he answer the man's questions, he did it with an illustration, a picture, if you will, to really make him understand, to drive the point home. Now today, these two laws of God that this man said, recited, are still in effect. We still are called upon to love God supremely. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, or with all thy strength and with all thy mind. He needs to be number one. Our first love. And thy neighbors, thyself. We need to love God supremely, and we need to love others as we love ourselves. However, loving others, as Jesus illustrates here now, has to be more than just a good feeling towards other people. More than just wishing others well. Yeah, I love everybody. No. Jesus wants us to understand our love for our neighbor must be in deed as well as in word. Not just something we talk about, something we live. I believe the Good Samaritan is given to us for an example that we might learn some lessons from him in this matter of loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. And so I want you to notice a few of the lessons we learned from the Good Samaritan. Number one, we learn the lesson by being sensitive to the need of other people. The lesson of the Good Samaritan we learn by learning to be sensitive to the need of other people. Now in verse 30, we read the story. A certain man, and he's obviously a Jew, he's going from Jericho to Jerusalem, or Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed. I like this, it makes so clear, leaving him half dead. So we have a wounded Jew. He's attacked by thieves. He's robbed, he's beaten, he's stripped of his raiment, and he's left there to die. As we read on, we learn, and then by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Ah, here comes help. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. It's interesting, here comes a priest. You would think of anybody who's going to help him, a priest would. But when he saw him, he completely avoided the man. He didn't come and look at him, he just went on the other side. Totally insensitive to the man's need. Here's this man robbed, beaten, and left to die, and the priest has no compassion. Couldn't care less. Oh, he probably had things he really had on his mind he was going to do and places to go and people to see. And maybe he even thought, I'm a priest. Somebody else who's less important to me needs to take care of this man. For whatever reason. He just walks right by the guy, goes on the other side. So we have a passing priest. Sees this wounded Jew. He's a religious leader wrapped in his robes of piousity. But then we see this. We see a passing priest. We see a lax Levite, if you will. And likewise, same deal. A Levite. When he was at the place, watch this. Came and looked on him. Oh, he sees him. He comes to where he is and he looks on him. Now we're going to get help. Turns his back on a man and goes on the other side. You know, you may not understand this, but the Levites were staunch protectors of and advocates for law keeping. If anybody should have knew his responsibility to help this man, this guy should have known. He did come and look on him. See, what that means is he didn't completely ignore him like the priest did. See, the priest pretended he's not even here. The priest just, I don't even see him. Ah, but the Levite said, oh, there's somebody over there. Let me see what's going on. Oh, he's got trouble. See you later. Huh? Looked on him. But it's interesting, the priest wasn't moved or slowed down by this man's plight, but the Levite was. But see, the end result was neither one of them wanted to help. They both crossed over to the other side. And then we see a sensitive Samaritan, verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, here's some interesting things. We got a wounded Jew. We got a Samaritan passing by. If you're not familiar with the history, the Jews hate the Samaritans. The Samaritans are really half-breeds, is what they are. When the Assyrians carried all of Israel off, the northern 10 tribes, they carried the people off and they brought heathen in there. They left some of the Israelites and they interbred. And so these were half-breeds and they called them dogs. The Jews had no time for the Samaritans. They wouldn't even go through Samaria. Remember when Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria? His disciples couldn't understand. We don't go there. But here comes this Samaritan who the Jews hate. And he sees a wounded man. I'm glad he didn't walk over there and say, well, that's a Jew. See you later. Hmm? He had compassion on him, the Bible says. He didn't look and say, hey, those people hate me. They have nothing. They think I'm a dog and we could just go down that road for a long time. No, 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 no. He saw a human being that needed help. And he had compassion. He felt something there. The man saw the need and he responded. He's one who's sensitive to the needs of others. And let me just stop there and remind you. This story is not just for this lawyer. God put it in His Word because He wants to remind us, every one of us as believers, we need to learn to be sensitive to the needs of other people. Listen, we need to learn to notice people who have needs. It's easy to turn your head. It's easy to see somebody with a need and cross over to the other side. But as believers, we're called upon to have compassion and go to where they are. We have this attitude in our country today of not getting involved. And that's not what Jesus said. We need to learn to feel for those who needed help. Here's this wounded man. He's half dead. This man cannot help himself. He needs somebody to have compassion and somebody to help him. And you know, I want to share this with you. As believers, we encounter many who need someone to care about them. The slogan, if you will, of our church on the bottom of our letterhead is, we care about you. We've had people say to us, I don't understand why you people care about me. Because God said we're supposed to. And it's a part of the Christian life. We're called upon to be compassionate and caring. And so we need to learn to feel for those needing physically, financially, emotionally, whatever the need is. We need to understand people have a need and where we can to help them. But I want to emphasize this. We need to really feel the need of those who need Christ. Do you ever get burdened for lost people? You run that subway. Julia, he's a conductor. Just kidding. How many people would you say get on your train, off your train every day? Three 3,000. And how many of those do you run? 12,000 people on one subway. Wonder how many of them are saved. You folks still go to the subway Saturday? Who knows how many you encounter? Wonder how many are saved? My wife and I, when we went, used to be when we went to Florida, we flew. That's when flying was almost enjoyable. Now, I mean, that's why we're driving. But I'm a people watcher. You sit in the airport and you watch these people. I mean, the concourses are full. And you wonder, how many of them are saved? They're all going somewhere. Listen, we need to understand there is a world out there that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the ones who need to have compassion and see their need and respond. Amen. Watch this. This poor fella is wounded and can do nothing for himself. The same as the lost are wounded and can do nothing for themselves. They need somebody to come and tell them. Because that's the only way people get saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We need to feel for those needing Christ. We'll often find them wounded, hurting, suffering, in need of someone to be sensitive to their need and willing to help them. But you see, too many believers are insensitive to the lost. They avoid them. They look on them and go on their way offering them nothing. So number one, we need to learn the lesson of the Good Samaritan by being sensitive to the need of others. And then by being sympathetic to the plight of others. This man was wounded and he's destitute. He's hurting physically and he has nothing to offer. They've stolen everything from him. And as I said, he could not help himself. He needed somebody to have compassion. And over there why can't I think of it? Hold on. I'm having a senior moment. Jude. It says, and some having compassion, making a difference. A priest and a Levite didn't have any compassion. They couldn't be bothered helping somebody. They, I said, had a spirit of didn't need to. They left him. And I was reading some commentaries. One man said they may have had the attitude, well, you know, a lot of people travel this road. Somebody will come by and help them. You know what I relate that to? The let George do it attitude. We have that in our churches. People will see there's something that needs to be done. There's somebody that needs help. And what they say is, well, somebody will help. No, we need to start saying, what can I do? The Good Samaritan was moved by his compassion. He had compassion, and that compassion moved him to take action. You know, he's just the opposite of the priest and the Levite. Notice that he interrupted his journey. He was on a journey like the rest of the men. The priest was going somewhere, the Levite was going somewhere, but they wouldn't interrupt their trip. But this man was willing to interrupt his trip, his journey, to help somebody. He was willing to interrupt an inconvenience himself, changing his schedule, changing his plans. Why? Somebody needed help. See, I believe one of the problems today is too many believers lack compassion for other people. Too many believers are not willing to interrupt their plans to help others. Not willing to be inconvenienced. Not willing to be put out because somebody has a need. Too many Christians are not willing to give up their leisure time or maybe their hobbies or maybe some sleep or maybe some energy or maybe some money, whatever it might be. They're just not willing to be inconvenienced. And they're not willing to put forth any effort to help others or to reach people for Christ. So number one, we need to learn the lesson of the Good Samaritan by being sensitive to the need of others, by being sympathetic to the plight of others, by being willing to serve to meet the need of others. Well, we read on, and the wounded man needed immediate medical attention. The Bible makes clear this guy wasn't just beat up, he was half dead. He needed someone to tend to his wounds. He didn't need somebody to come by and say, I'll pray for you. He didn't need somebody to come by and say, well, if I get a chance and have time, maybe I'll come back and see what I can do for you. He needed somebody to say, hey, I'm coming to help. That's exactly what the Samaritan did. This man needed somebody to tend to his physical wounds, to his need. He needed somebody to get down where he was, to put forth the energy and the effort to get dirty and bloody if it was necessary. We read here about this Good Samaritan, how he dressed his wounds. I don't know about you, but that blesses my heart. This guy went down there and he didn't say, I'll pray for you. He started taking action. He got the oil and the wine of his own and he started dressing these wounds, trying to comfort this guy and help this guy. He did everything he could for this man. He held back nothing in service to this man. Listen, he was willing to get down there with him and no doubt he got dirty in his efforts and probably bloody. See, he went where the needy was. Did you get that? Too many believers are unwilling to serve in order to meet others' needs. What am I talking about? Well, they're not willing to go where the needy are. Many times, listen, many times we're going to find the needy in circumstances that are not so pleasant. See, sometimes we got to get in there and get a little dirty and get a little messy and because that's where the needy are. Oftentimes their circumstances aren't the best. I was thinking about a visit you and I made in Gastonia. We had our food room and people would call and they'd ask for food and we'd say, sure. They'd come get the food, we'd get their name and address, and then we'd make a visit. Well, one lady called, she didn't have any way to come get food. She had a bunch of kids. So, all right, we'll bring you a box of food. Again, that's a soul-winning opportunity. So on Thursday night, my wife and I packed up the box of food, and we went out, and we found her place. It was a little trailer in a trailer park. We knocked on the door, told her who we was. She said, oh, come in, come in. And we, of course, took the food in, and she was very thankful. And so we wanted to visit with her, and we both kind of sat down and then realized what a mistake we'd made. Because as we sat on the sofa, we watched on the opposite wall the race that was going on between the cockroaches. I mean, they were just... I had made visits when I was in Gastonia. If I'm lying, I'm dying. The cockroaches were so bad, run across the floor, I kept moving so they wouldn't crawl my legs. But we went to visit that lady and we sat there and we watched. And I thought, Lord, don't let them come on us, please. Now, I don't remember that the lady got saved, but I said that to say this. That wasn't the most pleasant circumstance. But it's where the needy was. Yeah, she had a little baby. Yeah. My wife's saying the roaches were covering the baby. See, that's where the needy are. I don't like cockroaches. Well, if you like cockroaches, there's something wrong with you. I mean, you're weird. I hate to say it, but you're just weird. But you see, if that's where they are, that's where we've got to go. The down and outer. The drunkard. I remember the first few times we were at Faith Baptist Church there and they had a bus ministry when we first got, I got saved. My wife and I started going to church there and Pastor Fedena would have adults sit with the bus kids. We didn't have a teen or a children's church or anything at that time. And we had like three buses running, bringing kids in. So he would say, adults, sit among them bus kids and keep order. And we'd only been there, oh, I don't know, a couple of months. And we sat down this one day between the bus kids. And my wife said, I can hardly stand it. Oh, you don't smell so good. Say, what'd you do? We stayed there. See, because that's where the needy are. They may not smell so good. They may not look so good. Their situation may not be so good. Just so many negatives can be about it. But friend, we need to go where they are. Regardless of where they are. See, too many believers are not willing to get a little dirty, if you will, to help others. Here's what I mean when I say that. So many believers are not willing to sweat a little bit. To do some menial things. You know, maybe to cut somebody's grass or clean out a clogged pipe or help get in a car run or cook a meal or give a ride or those kind of things to help the needy. Have you ever read about Jesus talking about the time where there was a palsied man and Jesus is in the house and there's a big crowd around the house and these four men decide they got to get their palsied man to Jesus? And so they put him on a stretcher and they're carrying him, four men, taking him over there, and they find out we can't get to him. The press is too much, the crowd is too big. See what they did? They threw him down, said no sense. Actually, what they did was they dumped him off and they said, we did everything we can do, you're on your own. No! Those fellas climbed up on the roof and tore the roof apart and took ropes and lowered that guy down. They sweat a little bit. They worked a little bit. They put forth the effort. Why? There was a need. Believers today don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to work. They don't want to give of themselves and do whatever needs to be done. Listen, we need to learn to be servants and not expect to be served. If it was good enough for our Lord, it's good enough for us. Lessons from the Good Samaritan. Be sensitive to the need. Sympathetic to the plight. We need to be willing to serve, to meet the need. And then, we can learn a lesson by being selfless in our service to other people. Verse 34, I like this. And he went to him and bound his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. And brought him to an inn and took care of him. This guy required a lot of care. Hey, this wasn't going to be a 5-minute thing. This wasn't going to be stop by, give the guy a drink of water and go on your way. This was going to be some work and some effort. It was going to take some time and some energy. He was half dead. But you see, this Good Samaritan made helping this man the priority. Taking care of this needy one became the most important thing to the Samaritan. Everything else became secondary. Now I have something I must do. He gave up his comfort to help this man. Did you read what he did? He set the man on his beast. You know what that means? Now he has to walk. He'd have to walk while this stranger, this one who didn't have a good word for him probably, a Jew who hated the Samaritans, now this Samaritan would walk so this man could ride because he had a need. And he did it without hesitation. His discomfort, his added hardship didn't matter. The helpless, hurting, wounded man must be tended to. You know what I find today? Too many Christians are self-centered and selfish. More concerned about themselves than they are about other people. Unwilling to sacrifice, as I said early, comfort and ease to be used to help somebody in need. Some are willing to help others, but only if the cost will be little or nothing. Hey, can you help so-and-so? Sure. Well, it's going to take some time and some energy and some work. That's not how the Samaritan felt. Finally, we can learn the lesson of the Good Samaritan by being superlative in our efforts to help others. Oh, I read about this guy. You know, he didn't go part way. He didn't give good. He didn't give better. He gave the best he had. Where do you see that? Well, look what he did. He brought him to an inn, he took care of him, and on the morrow, he stayed overnight with the guy. He departed. When he left, he didn't say, okay, I've done all I can do. Look what he did. He took out 2 pence, gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. You talk about going the extra mile. Giving more than could possibly be required. Giving his best. You know, first of all, he did what could be expected. He gave the emergency care. But he did more than enough. He bound the wounds. He took him to an inn. And he wasn't concerned with the immediate need only. He was concerned with this man's total need. And he went that extra mile. And he did for this man what the man could not do for himself. He paid for the man's stay. And he even committed additional finances if there was a need. You know, as believers, we need to be willing to be superlative in helping others, giving our best. We need to first of all give what common, decent humanity requires. But then we need to do more than the average person. We need to show more than concern for just the immediate need, the future of the needy as well. By the way, the ultimate is we need to be concerned about where they're going to spend eternity. We must love our neighbor as we love ourselves. If we're really going to do so, it's going to require some effort. Mark it down. It's going to cost us something. But you know, that's the Lord's command. And He gives us this Good Samaritan as a picture, as an example of what being a good neighbor, of what loving others like we love ourselves really is. Can you learn anything from him today? You know, you can take that same parable and see the picture of Jesus Christ there, who came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves. Who came to the needy. Came and got down and dirty, if you will, got bloody and came where we were to do what we needed done when we couldn't help ourselves. And He paid it all for us. Did you get it? He paid it all so that we could have eternal life. What a beautiful picture. Can you learn anything from the Samaritan today? I hope so. Let's bow our heads. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a hard command. It's something we need to work at. Be faithful to and diligent in. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask those of you in this room that would testify you're saved. If I ask you to raise your hand to testify you're saved, you know, you would raise your hand in a minute. You don't have a doubt you're going to heaven when you die. But let me ask you, have you been loving your neighbor like you love yourself? Have you fallen short maybe in some of these areas? Can you learn something from the Good Samaritan today? I wonder how many believers in this room would say, "Preacher, I believe I've been all I need to be in loving my neighbor like I love myself." I'm willing to testify to that with the uplifted hand. I believe I'm doing all I need to do in loving my neighbor like I love myself. Here's my hand. Hold it up. Hold it up. God bless you. Now, how many would say, "Preacher, God's all over me this morning. I have not loved my neighbor like I love myself. And yes, I need to learn from this Good Samaritan. There are some areas I see this morning I have been weak in. I need to change." And this morning I'm asking God to help me to change, to be sensitive and compassionate to the needs of other people, to be willing to get involved, to be willing to help them, and to be willing most of all to be used of Him to bring them to Christ. God's speaking to me this morning. I need to change some things, preacher. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hold it up high. I have not been the neighbor. I love my neighbor like I love myself, and I need to. Here's my hand. God bless you. God bless you. Put it down. I wonder if somebody here this morning say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm the one that needs Christ. I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm concerned about what's going to happen when I die. I need somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved today. Here's my hand, preacher. Would you pray for me? I'd be happy to, and I won't call your name and I won't embarrass you. But I need to know who you are." If that's your situation, you're not saved, you know it, God knows it, you want to be saved, would you just slip your hand up right now? Anyone at all? Let's stand together. 485? 489. I surrender all. Here's the invitation. Listen carefully. Many of you, raise your hand. Say, God's speaking to you. You need to change some things in your life. Here's what I want you to do. As soon as we start to sing, I want you to come. You don't have to give a speech or tell us what it's all about. You just come do business with the Lord. He's speaking to you. You speak to Him. Surrender to Him. Ask Him to show you what needs to be changed and then make that commitment to change it. Unsaved friend of mine, you come and shake my hand. That won't save you, but let me put you with a man if you're a man, a lady if you're a lady, who can take you out here to a quiet place and show you how to be saved. Can you learn from the Good Samaritan today? Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for this parable Jesus gave. Thank you for the truths that are involved there. Help us to assimilate them in our heart and our life that we could be more of what you want us to be. That we could truly love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and all of our mind. And love our neighbors like we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.